Through it all, we have been supported by the most passionate fan base in the country. These great fans deserve teams that make them proud. It will not be easy, but we will succeed.
Remember the past, but look forward and don't look back.
Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is Three and Out with Nate Hodges and Houston Kress. Many imitators, no duplicators. Fan Run Radio.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my horse through the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more. I'm gonna take my horse through the old town road. I'm gonna ride.
It starts with everybody that touches the University of Tennessee.
And that'll do it. Tennessee is going to snap their 11-game conference losing streak.
We got to get better. Everybody, do your job, and it's that simple.
And it is over, and number one goes down. Tennessee comes back to knock off the unbeaten Zags, 76-73.
I'm going to tell you what my expectations are. My expectations is to win every game we play.
I want 100% locked in. You got it?
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your fans behind. Cause your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, that no friends of mine. Say, we can go where we want to, place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world, leave the real one far behind. We can dance.
Don't
we can go when we want to, night is young and so am I. And we can dress real neat from our hearts to our feet and surprise them with a victory cry.
Welcome into the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios of Fan Run Radio. It's Optimism Tuesday. It's Snowpocalypse Tuesday. If you don't recognize my voice, I'm Houston Kress. Nate Hodges out today, kid duty, Knox County. Not shutting it down, just going with a two-hour delay.
So
which
far.
It's they didn't really. I don't know if they thought this one through.
Very selfish.
Very, very sad. It looks worse out there than I expected it to be honest with you. Billy Wilford, Davey Hudson in with me today. Not quite a full house again. Nate Hodges on kid duty.
When was the last time it snowed this much in November in the greater Knoxville area?
You know, Billy's been going back and forth with Bomani Jones, and someone tweeted at him the other night, this is the same guy who's going to send pictures of snow and say that global warming isn't real. Billy, here's your chance. Here's your chance. Global warming. Yeah.
I think
we got 3 inches
on the
ground.
Terminology now.
Yeah, whatever they call it. Yeah, sorry. Climate change. Climate's always changing. Snow in November. I'll be honest. I don't know that I recall this much snow this early in November.
I don't ever remember having a delay for school or getting out.
Not in November.
In the month of November.
Usually we get our spring and our snow in the spring semester-ish, right? Like January, February.
Yeah.
Not this year, bud.
Sometimes then even in March.
Oh yeah. Was the blizzard 93 in March?
It was.
That's what I thought.
He had a tornado in February, blizzard in March.
You hate to see it, I suppose. But if you're out there, again, Knox County on a 2-hour delay, roads are it wasn't really sticking to the roads. It was sticking to everything else. I think there was like 2 inches stuck to my car. I mean, that's significant. I was watching Todd Howell. They did their little almanac report and how much snow are we going to get in the valley this year. They said it's going to be the average, which is 6 to 10 inches. So right at 8. We're already at 2.5, 3. We're ahead of the curve in November. This does not happen. This is very rare. So be careful out there. I guess, Nate, you think he's listening or you think he went back to bed? I'm going to guess he went back to bed.
I don't know. He's probably up.
I don't know. I feel like we were kind of texting back and forth in the group thread. He never really replied again. We get the morning text, hey, sorry, this is the worst case scenario for my family. I'm going to have to miss the show. He just went back to bed, right? And he's going to wake up here in like an hour and a half.
If we don't hear from him, 5 minutes he went back to
bed. What is the official start time for elementary school? Is it 7:30 or is it 8:30?
7:45. So now 9:45.
See, I needed to ask a dad. That's why I was asking you. So now 9:45.
Mm-hmm.
Feels like you could have probably come in and done like 2 hours and then left, picked him up, taken him to school.
Yeah.
Rush back over for the last 5 minutes.
He's scouting Murray State right now. That's what he's doing.
I don't think that's what he's doing at all. I feel like you're giving him way too much credit. Why on earth would he be scouting Murray State?
There's a basketball game tonight.
What is there a line on this game? Is there a line on the Vols Murray State?
I'll check.
-12.5
Tennessee favored?
Yeah.
You got that quick. Oh, you're using your phone, not your computer. That makes sense.
Now, this isn't even my computer.
No wonder it's fast.
I wasn't using the computer, though.
You are using your phone?
Yeah.
Hey, good for you.
Hold up right here.
What did you say the line was?
12.5, according to ESPN.
Feel good about that? We feel good about the Vols tonight? 12.5, Murray State?
I predicted a 11-point win yesterday.
Well, aren't you just Mr. Vegas Insider?
Yeah, I didn't even know, yeah.
You should be my bookie for Nate being my bookie on my bookie.
Vols, 1-0. Tip-off tonight at 9 o'clock from Thompson Bowling Arena.
Yes, it is a home game.
I forgot it was 9 o'clock.
Going to need a nap today, probably. Going to need a nap.
Two nights in a row.
It's going to be definitely going to be a big nap day. It's the perfect day for a nap, though, if you can take one. Snowy, gray, cold. Just get into the covers and go back to sleep like Nate did. At least that's what we think he did.
This says Lamonte Turner is 20% from the free throw line so far this season.
He did not have a good game.
Yeah, I actually remember saying out loud, in the last game, not good news when your point guard can't make free throws. That's like one of your three jobs as a point guard. Run the offense, don't turn it over, make your free throws.
He was 1-for-5 from the line. Two for eight from three.
1-for-5 from the line, that is 20%. My quick math tells me. Good stat by you, Davey.
According to Vivid Seats, you can get tickets for as low as $1. Granted, the licensing fee and everything on top of that is probably going to be about $60.
No. Just go scalp them from Kenny underneath the overpass there on campus.
Let's see how much
the little pedestrian walkway. He just hides under there, but the other guys, they're not scalping, though. They just buy tickets. That's why the sign says, I need tickets, not I have tickets. Mm. But they really have tickets. Wink, wink.
Yeah, not going to be a sellout.
Look, I'm all for previewing tonight's game. We got to do that. It is Optimism Tuesday, and I feel like it's been a very optimistic 7-8 days or so for the University of Tennessee. But we never do this, and it's been a long time since we've been able to do this. The game of the night last night, your Tennessee Lady Volunteer basketball team on the road at Notre Dame. Billy, wipe that look off your face. Gets a big 74-63 win. Kelly Jolly Harper. Road win over a top 25 team. The first time Tennessee's done it in 8 years. It took her one opportunity, and she got it done.
Renia, mind you.
Yeah, they won by 11. I gave the score. I don't know if you heard it. You probably don't listen to the show. Renia Davis, 33 points, 10 rebounds. She matches a career high. She had 33 last year against Arkansas. Guys, they looked like a basketball team. It was nice. Neither of you watched it. This is why Nate needed to be here. He actually watched the game. He and the daughter, we were texting about it. He's like, yeah, I'm watching it with my daughter. This is great. They look pretty good. A lot of mistakes. They're a young team. I think they had 27 turnovers.
28
turnovers. Thank you, Billy.
Compared to 12 for Notre Dame.
Notre Dame only had 12?
12 and still lost by double digits.
You got the rebounding margin there because we stomped their face on the glass.
55-28.
Yeah. Woo! That's balling.
Tennessee had 40 defensive rebounds. Notre Dame had 17 and 15-11 for offensive.
We also had, I believe, 12 or 13 blocks. The school record was 15.
12, that is correct, compared to 1 for Notre Dame.
1. They kept saying it on the broadcast, this is the tallest Tennessee team ever, as far as total height. Did they say we have one player that's 6 foot or one and everyone else is taller, or one player that's 5'11 and everyone else is taller? I can't remember. Anyway, they're a freaking block fest. It was kind of nice. Rebounding and blocking, height helps.
When I did turn on the game, that is one thing that I noticed. Well, before the 49ers game.
But this sorry for your loss.
Really long.
Tall.
They're
same thing. I was just kidding around.
They only have one player below 6 foot.
Who is it?
Jesse. Some freshman.
Just Jesse. She has one name,
well,
Jessie.
I don't want to pronounce it wrong. She's from Australia. I don't know.
Is she the grad transfer?
She's the freshman.
Is she a transfer freshman?
No.
Is she a transfer at all?
Nope.
I take it as the
Is she the number Kush two player Kitta? In the country? What is it? What, you want to try it?
Kushkita?
No.
Kushkita. I don't know, Mick. I have no idea.
Well, which one are you having difficulty pronouncing, Billy? Because the other ones are Brown, Key, Horston, Davis, Massengill, Harris, McCoy, Rennie, or Burrell.
I didn't know the emphasis on... I didn't know if it was Rennie or Rennie or Renee.
I don't know.
It's Rennie.
You sure?
I mean, I'm reading it.
I mean, she's from Australia, though.
So. Yeah, so it could be like a... there could be a dialectual thing here. Like, it could be like this. Like Rennie or Renee.
I don't think it's going to be Renee.
Could be like Aborigine. I don't know. Anyway, so she's the one under 6 foot?
Yep. 5'8".
5'8". Wow. Bet she feels a little lackluster in the locker room. That's a tall group of people.
Falls only had 6 players score.
Well, yeah. Renee Davis had 33. She had 22 at the half, maybe 24. She was all over the place.
5 of 9 from outside, 10 rebounds.
I think she hit 5 of her first 7 from 3.
Double-double.
I mean, signature win? Are we already there? I realize that this was a Notre Dame team that did not return a single starter from the team that went to the Final Four last year. But, again, the only team that had beat them at home in the last 115 games was UConn, and you just went in there with a brand-new coach, unranked, beat them by double digits. I think the lead at one point was 22 or 20. I mean, you led start wire to wire. You're up 8 at the half. You extended the lead into the second half. The handshake line was very quick. I thought maybe Kelly Jolly Harper and Muffet McGraw would be like friends or something. Kelly Jolly Harper's like, nope, I expected to win. Good game, coach. Head into the locker room. Signature win, are we there? Are you there, Davey? Are we saying it?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's Notre Dame.
This is a team that beat ETSU last week by 4. And then they go to Notre Dame, number 15 Notre Dame, and win by 11?
I mean, I don't keep up much with women's basketball, I'll be honest.
No, I get it.
But I do know, I mean, there's UConn, there's Notre Dame, and there's Stanford as far as programs that have been really well recently, and you can throw in, like, Mississippi State and South Carolina.
Baylor. I throw Baylor in there.
Okay, yeah.
They're the defending champ, and they've had some pretty good teams over the last little bit. Maryland had, like, a stretch there where they were pretty good. They're not really good anymore.
So anytime you're beating those teams, especially year one, game 3, on the road, yeah, it's a signature win.
Boom. We already got the signature win. It's
out
of the way.
Before the break, or I mean, before we got started, the first road win against a ranked team.
8 years.
So that spans back to Coach Summit's
time. Coach Summit. Love Holly Warlick, but she never beat a ranked team on the road in 7 years. Kelly Jolly gets it done first opportunity.
It's interesting. I mean, I know we haven't talked much about this team so far, but they beat ETSU by 4.
Yeah.
So
I mean, it was at ETSU. It's kind of a weird game.
I guess
was that the? I think that was the first time we've opened the season on the road.
Probably
in it maybe ever. It was very strange.
So the fact that you go from taking that game, if we're just going eye test and be like, ah, man, you feel like you should beat that team by a lot more than 4, to then going
classic look ahead game. Bend, classic look ahead. They spent all offseason prepping for Notre Dame, and it showed last night. Congrats to Kelly Jolly Harper. You know who looks really good on that? Big Phil.
Yeah.
Fulmer. Pruitt getting the job done. Barnes and the boys recruiting their rear ends off. Didn't get the Plavsic waiver. I don't know if that's entirely his fault. But then now everyone rolled their eyes. Oh, Kelly Jolly just keeping it in the family. It's a big win. It's a big – feels like a signature win. I don't know. Notre Dame may prove to be absolute junk this year. But Tennessee wasn't expected to do much. It's at least an attention getter early in the season. For the good reasons, Lady Vols haven't had a lot of good attention in the last, half decade or so. Good win for them. I don't know. Maybe we're a basketball school on both sides and football's getting a little better. I don't know. But, yes, Murray State tonight for the men. Can you tell me anything about Murray State other than John Morant is not there anymore?
Guess you didn't read the article I put out last night, huh?
Did you put it in the group thread for the show? Because if you didn't, I probably missed it.
Put it on the website.
What website? Which website?
Mm-hmm.
Facebook.com?
Yep.
You posted it to Facebook?
Yeah.
You're like
the Vol for Life group.
The Vol for Life crew.
Mm-hmm. Our leading scorer is Tevin Brown. He's got 17 points.
I think I got blocked out of All for Life group.
On the season.
That's why we have Davey go in there covertly steal the...
I've had to go under a different name now.
What's your...
He shot
what
under
is
50%.
It?
Why would I give you the covert name just so they can take
they
that?
They don't listen
then,
to the show. I'm just...
You
I'm
don't
just,
know that. We've had,
yeah, I think I do.
Because, well, we've had people go in there and say, hey, did y'all hear the Vol for Life segment on 3 and Out this morning? And then they'll, like, tag us in it. And I'm just like,
they're
thanks,
like,
really?
What? Some of them are like, yeah, that's really funny. And then other people are like, block them. I got blocked last year. They kicked me right out of the group. If you're going to make fun of the group, you can't be in the group. All right, fine. Kick me out of the group. I'll just go in the next day as Austin Chris. Fine by me. What was that guy's name? Their leading scorer?
Tevin Brown. Granted.
Tevin Brown.
One game.
He was the third leading scorer on the squad last year at 11.8 points per game. He was just 2 for 6 from long range against Southern. That was their season opener. But he attempted 229 3-point shots last year. The dude.
How many?
229.
It's a lot.
Connected on 37.6% of those shots.
That's a good percentage for that many shots.
Yeah, I think a lot had to do. I watched a lot of highlights on him yesterday, and John Morant really
drive, draw, dish, and he's wide open. Yeah,
so he hit a lot of
Morant's a guy you kind of got to commit bodies to him when he goes to the rack, and he was a really good at finding the open man and kicking it out. Yeah, that makes sense. That adds up. Billy.
A couple of those highlights, Morant had like 4 guys collapse on him in the lane, and like just. Murray State.
Just any of the four spots. Just close your eyes and heave it over your head because it's going to find an open guy. Can he knock down the three? 229 threes?
There was
around 7 a game.
There was a 2-game stretch last season where he went 13 for 24 from deep, scoring 39 points. And then he went 5 for 9 against Marquette in the NCAA tournament. So he can hit big shots, and I think if obviously, if Tennessee's not out there to guard him, something that they weren't great at last season, he's going to be able to knock those shots down. I think Murray State's going to be much better than UNC Asheville. I could see this game going back and forth, and it's going to come down to can Tennessee hit their free throws late to extend the lead to 10, to 11.
What was the line for UNC Asheville?
30. It opened up at like 31.5.
Got down to 26 or something, though, didn't it?
Which I always thought was too high.
As Davey mentioned, 12.5-point favorites are the Vols tonight. According to the BPI, that's Basketball Power Index, 80.1% chance of victory tonight.
Okay.
I guess, did we ever figure out where we are with Plavsic? Are they still in waiver attempt number 3, or did that get denied too, and we just don't know about it yet? Like, did he figure out why he's getting denied? Because Barnes said, I don't need to know, but he's going to know. Like, he deserves to know. Did we ever get that information?
I feel like we would know if he knows, right? Like, the reason?
I don't know. Depends on what it was, right? It's like, I know, we found out you killed puppies. Probably not going to tweet that one out. Just saying.
Just to give all the facts, apparently ESPN was incorrect for the Lady Vols when they said they haven't won a road play or a road game against a ranked team.
Dang it.
Since Pat Summitt's time,
mm-hmm.
I think they won at Texas last year, and Texas was ranked.
Hmm. Wow.
What do they have against Holly?
Seriously.
What do they have
ESPN
against the Lady Vols?
I thought they loved the Lady Vols forever. Yeah. Remember that stretch earlier this year after we lost to Georgia State and BYU? The Tennessee football like icon was the Lady Vol logo when you go and click the schedule?
That was a dig at the football team.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Apparently it did it the other day as well.
Not a very good time to be doing it now. We're on a heater. 4 out of our last 5. Exposed Alabama, bye week, Missouri, Vandy, feeling good. Now's not the time. Now's not the time, ESPN. Don't do it. You're just going to make yourself look stupid.
Oh, I heard this yesterday. 2014 was the last time that Tennessee didn't play on a CBS game. They're not going to do it this year.
Yeah, I saw that.
That was Butch's second year, right?
Uh-huh.
Jeremy's second year.
What is it about second year Tennessee? We don't get the CBS.
I don't know, but third year it was we lost only three
four.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Three SEC games.
Yeah.
Very close.
Yeah.
It's starting to, as Davey likes to say, time is a
flat circle.
It is. Yeah.
Is that a watch joke? Like a clock joke? Time is a flat circle, like a watch or a clock?
Because I don't
clock is
view
a flat
it as
circle.
A joke. I mean, it's from True Detective.
No, I know, but is that a joke though? The flat circle thing, like time is a flat, like it's just a clock or a watch.
I guess you like could a make flat it, circle? But I don't.
Think is that what he
Russ,
means?
Or? I don't think Russ Cole's good. Like his philosophical standpoints on those matters are fairly
well. The, what's
complex
what,
and deep? Expl- so I don't think.
Well,
it's
explain
a very
the
simple.
Flat circle thing if it's not just a clock joke.
Ultimately, you're going to be in the same situation no matter what you do. It's kind of like your destiny is predetermined, so no matter what decision you make, you're ultimately going to end up in the same spot. Therefore, time is a flat circle because you ultimately end back up where you started.
I feel like that's Benjamin Button.
That's a little opposite.
So no matter what happens, you're going to end up in this. I still don't understand what the flat circle has to do with that.
I mean, I can do a deep dive on it to see if I can find any.
Maybe not on
the
show. No, yeah, we do. I'm just the flat circle. So can I move anywhere within that circle? Is it a ring circle or is it just a circle? You know what I'm saying when I say ring or circle?
Yeah.
Like, is it a ring and the outside of is that that's the path, or is it a circle, like a cup holder?
I think multiple people have different
like
meanings
coaster.
For it, so I don't know if you're going to get just a this is a this
or
is
it just a
answer.
Clock? Is it just a time is a flat circle? As in, it's just a clock on the wall. It's not even real. It's just a circle with numbers on it. Tell you what, you do that. Get back to me. It's Optimism Tuesday on 3 Out. Maybe you can find some optimism on the flat circle thing. I don't know. We got to talk Vols, Kentucky. Preview the bye week heading into Missouri and Vanderbilt. Got a little more on Tennessee, Murray State tonight. Probably done with the Lady Vols, I think.
Yeah.
Probably done. Probably good on that one. We got a lot of other college football games to get into that we did not get to touch on yesterday. But we're going to try to stick to the Tennessee program right now because things are just feeling good. It's been a really good 2 weeks. Getting better. Game tonight, bye week for the men. This just feels snow day. I don't know. Snow in November. Maybe it's a good sign. It's a good omen. 3 and Out, Fan Run Radio. We'll be back after this. Welcome back. 3 and Out in the Truly Hard Seltzer studios of Fan Run Radio. Nate out. It's me, Houston, Davey, Billy, getting you through this Optimism Tuesday. Did you guys happen to see the Pro Football Focus All-SEC defensive team for this week?
I sent it to the group, so yes.
Felt a little snarky. I didn't see it in the group. I saw it elsewhere, but good job on you for sending it to the group.
You said in the last segment, if I'm to quote you, when Billy asked if
you
had seen
you probably
his
sent
story.
It, I went to bed early. You probably sent it after I went to bed. What time did you send it? Do you remember?
Like 7:30?
8:16.
Might have been in bed.
And you commented right below it.
Hate to see it.
I did. What did I say?
You said leading the league again 3 weeks in a row.
I probably just didn't see who sent it. Mm. So you guys saw it?
Mm-hmm.
No.
A little peek behind the curtain there. Thanks a lot, David. Appreciate it. The last 2 weeks,
just
Tennessee had four defensive players on the Pro Football Focus defensive SEC team of the week. After the performance against Kentucky, Tennessee did manage three, tying league leader LSU also with three. So we're 3 weeks in a row now leading the league in all SEC defensive players of the week per Pro Football Focus. This feels like kind of a big deal. Darryl Middleton, Aubrey Solomon, and Daniel Batuli made the list. This week, I'm kind of surprised that any LSU defender would make it, or Alabama for that matter, although Alabama didn't make it. But that seems like in a shootout of that magnitude, the defenses did not have. What did Tua end up passing for? Four 423?
Well, I mean, again, yeah, there's certain players that are not going to look great, but when you're going through the Pro Football Focus numbers, I mean, if another guy just kind of loses containment or breaks down to where it allows a big play, I mean, as long as that guy did his job on that one play,
I guess
it's going to give him a high grade.
It seems like if you give up, you know, what was it, 40?
It's 46 to 41.
You give up 41 points. It's like, oh, good job. To get three players on the defensive team, it just seems a little, I don't know. You got an edge rusher, a linebacker, and what is FL?
Yeah, I was wondering that myself.
I'm glad that you are wondering that because I am unfamiliar with FL.
I wonder if the F stands for floating, and then it's like a floating linebacker.
His last name is Flott. Could it just be the first two letters of his last name? Flott. Cordell Flott, the FL on Pro Football Focus, SEC Defensive Team of the Week. Never heard of FL. Going to be honest.
That's weird.
I have no idea what FL stands for.
Nope.
But congrats to Cordell Flott, FLOTT, for being the FL of the week, according to Pro Football Focus. Is it safe to say this is starting to feel like a team that has a, I don't know, an elite defensive coordinator as their head coach? I realize that we haven't exactly played the most explosive offensive teams in the last 5 weeks or so.
Flanker.
Flanker?
Yeah.
What's a flanker? I thought a flanker was like a... I thought that was a word to use for a wide receiver.
I guess it's probably more of just a position that's kind of all over the place, doesn't necessarily have a true destination.
Flanker? Is that the nickel?
I'm just kind of speculating.
Are they saying that's a nickel spot? Because they did only give two linebackers. I'm gonna need some clarification on that. But again, Daniel Patulli, 19 tackles against Kentucky. Not surprised that he made it. Aubrey Solomon and Darryl Middleton, though, that's two guys in their first year in the program making a big impact. I've kind of said it for the last few weeks, but the defensive line has really been coming along. Obviously, the start to the game, not great. Those first two drives by Kentucky, we looked like, we looked like warm butter, and they were said knife. But after that, shut down Kentucky. Obviously, the goal line stand, big play in the game, securing the victory. Is it safe to say the defense starting to look like what we expected a Jeremy Pruitt defense to look like? Is it safe to say now that maybe defensive recruiting could pick up? I mean, you got a bye week now. You're coming off five games where I think the defense played pretty well.
I mean, it would be easier to go into a recruit's home and be like, hey, we're getting some things going. We just need more talent. We need the Jimmys and Joes.
Surely it picks up with the bye week, right? They get an extra week to kind of go on the road, make some visits, some house calls, that kind of thing. Is that why maybe the recruiting momentum wasn't there? Is because of our late bye week?
I don't know if I'd put it that far. Maybe they're doing the approach. Like,
I guess normally you only get one. We already had one, so I don't know. It's just been weird. Because look, on the field product the last 5 weeks, thumbs up. Very, very good.
You've only given up 28 points in the second half in those games.
I thought it was only 21.
Mississippi State scored. Bama scored twice.
I think Bama only scored once. I thought they only had seven.
No, Mac Jones let them on a drive, I think, in the second quarter.
Yeah, they scored seven in the
second half. Sorry,
seven in the third, seven in the fourth.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
I guess somebody – the stat I saw only gave Bama credit for seven, so it was 14.
Oh, okay. Well, actually, because the defense scored a touchdown.
Oh,
so
that's right.
That's what it was.
Tennessee's defense has only given up 21 second-half points over the last five games.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Very impressive.
Like, that's – we've – golly. I mean, not to, like, ring the echoing bell on this show, but – halftime adjustments. We talk about that all the time. Butch Jones did not believe in halftime adjustments, and I can't tell you how many times we would come out in the second half trying to do the exact same thing on both sides of the ball, and the other team adjusts, and you blow a big lead.
Speaking of Butch Jones, Houston Crest Fan Club tweets in at us.
2 years ago today.
Happy anniversary, Vols. We made it 2 years ago today. Butch was fired.
You know, David tweeted and said the snow today is a cleansing snow. It means that the program is finally washed white as snow. got the big road win over Notre Dame last night. We got Murray State. We beat Kentucky. 4 out of the last 5. Bye week. It does feel, I don't know, a weight has been lifted. Very quiet on the drive in today. Very nice.
One in Stripes tweets in at us.
Flex.
Flex can be used multiple spots on the D.
That would make sense, flex.
Yeah.
But I think of flex as an offensive fantasy football option, well, not a defensive player.
I went to Pro Football Reference, and for FL, they had flanker.
Pro Football Focus called it a flanker?
No, it wasn't Pro Football Focus. It was Pro Football Reference.
Oh, well, this is Pro Football Focus.
Yes. But I kind of thought they might.
One in Stripes also says that Flott is listed as a corner, so he must have played some type of nickel. So, yeah, I guess the flex spot for Pro Football Focus could be a nickelback, could be an extra linebacker, so on and so forth. Tennessee's defense, though. I mean, not to mention with injuries. I mean, that was their 6th game in a row. They're banged up a little bit. But Batuli has been an absolute madman, as has Hank T. Nigel Warrior playing like the 4-star that we all thought he would when he committed to Tennessee out of high school. Let's not forget either. It didn't really matter against Kentucky, but Bryce Thompson was injured for a lot of that game. That's a starting corner that was out. So he had to rely on Warren Burrell a little bit more, along with Kenny Solomon and Alante Taylor. And again, after that first drive or two, I thought you did a really good job against Kentucky. Saved the drive where you turned it over on the weird handoff fumble there. Just feels like Tennessee's defense is starting to make sense. And, gosh, going back to August and September, how Jeremy Pruitt, A, kept this team together during that stretch and then has kind of built them for this second half of the season run that they're on. I mean, I don't know if this year right now you have a quote-unquote signature win, mm-hmm. right? I mean, obviously last year you go to Auburn, you get a win. That's the signature win. I think if this team does go 7-5, there may not be that one signature win, but it was a signature finish to what could have been, I mean, easily the worst season in Tennessee football history. Because we talked about it, and I don't think we were joking. Like, 2-10 was on the table when you lost those first two games. Especially, the quarterback play was awful. The defense was horrid. Injuries all over the place. This, and it's nice to see Jeremy Pruitt and the staff getting a lot of credit from guys like Greg McElroy. I was listening to Clay Travis. He had Charles Davis on this morning. Still got a little bit of work to do, obviously, at Missouri and Vanderbilt at home. But to go from 0-2, was it 1-4 the start?
Correct.
And then to be looking at the potential of a 7-5, 8-5 season with the bowl win, that is some kind of a turnaround.
I'll be honest. I didn't think he was going to do it this year. Like, I mean,
what was your season prediction? 6-6?
6-6 initially.
Were you 6-6? Closer to 5-7, right?
Yes.
So what you said? Mm-hmm. I went 7-5, and they got a chance to save me. They might actually make this happen. Not the way I saw it going, but they may actually do it.
And so after you started 1-4, I just didn't see a situation. I mean, I guess you saw a little bit of hope with Mauer that they might get a couple more, but
no, I agree with that.
I was 100% really, certain they weren't going to reach last year's win total.
Sure.
After Georgia, I was just like, I just don't see it. So the fact that he has been able to keep this team together, I have to commend him for that. And, I mean, there's still a lot to be seen, but at least, like you mentioned, you're feeling so much better now compared to where you were at the end of September.
Yeah, not only about this season, but I think long term, right? Because
he might not be able to, he might never win a championship here, but I do feel like he's going to at least stabilize the program.
I agree. And I mean, my goodness, people were wanting to fire him after the BYU game. I mean, it was a vocal minority, but people were already talking about axing him. And then what do you do? And I don't know if, I mean, the timing kind of made sense, but you got a few players and booted them off the team. Was it Jordan Murphy?
Jordan Murphy, yeah. He had the tweets.
The tweets and all that. And there were a couple more, obviously, after game 4 that entered the transfer portal. I don't know if maybe you culled some of the bad energy, but since game 4, it's just felt like I'm looking at a different team. They have energy. They have drive. They care. I mean, I think that was everybody's biggest complaint after the Georgia State game was they just didn't look like they cared. They didn't have any
effort.
Juice, any effort. They just and maybe that was a coaching mistake because the coaches thought they could just roll over Georgia State, and Georgia State ended up putting up a much bigger fight than you thought. I do think if you played Georgia State again, you'd beat them, but you can't do that. Can't go back. But to because, I mean, we see this all the time across college football. You lose a couple of games early, and the team's just done, right? Like Chad Morris, he lost his team. Willie Taggart, he lost his team. And he couldn't get him back. And those were two coaches in year two who are now fired. Going to get big checks, both of them. But still, Jeremy Pruitt and this staff, I mean, I realize Florida State didn't have the crippling loss like Georgia State, but you did lose in dramatic fashion to Boise. Seems like it would be easier for Willie Taggart to turn his team around than it would be for Jeremy Pruitt. Maybe not Chad Morris, because let's just be honest, they were really, really bad.
I think it's funny, too. You've just seen how well SMU's doing since he's left as well.
That's a really good point.
And Oregon with Willie Taggart.
Yeah, Mario Cristobal's doing a fantastic job up there.
Gosh, I hadn't even done the previous team comparison. Yeah. But yeah, Oregon, right now you're Pac-12 leader for potential playoff spot. SMU, one loss on the season in a game day atmosphere at Memphis. And now these two guys axed again. But all that to say, I don't think the job was easy that Jeremy Pruitt had when he had to kind of refocus the team after the 0-2 start, after the 1-4 start, frankly. I mean, you came out and blasted UTC. Who cares?
Yeah, you've won 4 out of 5, and you have to go back to 2016 to find the last time Tennessee's done that in a season.
What, 4 out of 5?
Mm-hmm.
When's the last time they won 6 out of 7?
I'll go back.
Did they start 6-0 in 2016?
No, 5-0.
5-0
and lost to Texas A&M in double overtime.
And then Alabama.
And then South Carolina.
So when's the last time Tennessee won 6 out of 7?
Are we counting?
2015.
They closed.
They closed really well.
That's right.
And then you had that.
Even if you don't count the bowl game, was that 6 out of 7?
Yeah.
Was it 6 straight?
No. I think Alabama was in there.
That would make sense. 1, 2, 3. Which is the same situation this season.
Yeah, you started in 2015, you beat Georgia, lost to Bama, and then you won out.
Yeah.
Kentucky, South Carolina, North Texas, at Missouri, Vandy.
North Texas. Chico.
That was the field game where everyone was just talking about how bad the turf was.
That was my first week at the station here. I came in, and they said, what do you expect this week? And I was like, the field's going to be a mess. We're going to win a terrible, horrible game. Case in point.
We can kind of stay on this, but I do think it's interesting, and you mentioned it, talking about the adjustments, and specifically, I mean, halftime adjustments. This isn't so much just halftime, but just adjusting it all. I feel like Pruitt was extremely stubborn at the beginning of the season to kind of make some changes, and you've seen he's been much more fast, or I guess quick. He's been really quick to pull the trigger to change something if he's like, all right, this ain't working, next thing.
He's done that, but he's also kind of stood by a couple of his principles all season that have ended up working. Like the way he's kind of stood by Garantano and said he's going to win us some games, and show enough.
But I guess that kind of goes back to he's quick to like, it's all right, this quarterback's not getting it done right now.
No,
he's kind of
agree.
Going with the Steve Spurrier plan of like, all right, just change them.
I think, golly, we definitely need to talk about this because I do think we're starting to see Jeremy Pruitt develop his head coaching voice, so to speak. We're starting to see him kind of find his head coach personality, which takes time. Like, that's the thing. It just takes some time. I think that's a really interesting topic of conversation, watching a guy kind of become a coach before our very
because
eyes.
We don't have a test case, at least for Jeremy Pruitt's past success, to see how he's going to handle
the situation. We can't look at SMU or Oregon. No. Like, we have to just be like, well, this is it. This is his first shot. And I think it's understandable if that would take some time. We'll dive into that on the other side. This is 3 and Out on Fan Run Radio. If you say that you are mine. Final segment, hour number one here on 3 and Out. Fox Sports Knoxville Fan Run Radio, talking a little Jeremy Pruitt and the salvaging of a season that looked doomed to fail after 2 weeks, and now the Vols sit at 5-5, headed into the bye week, 2 games to play. A lot of questions after those first, well, really after the first 5 games. I don't think anybody gave Tennessee much credit for UTC, and rightfully so. But now you sit at 5-5. He's made moves at quarterback, as Davey mentioned in the last segment. Much needed moves at times. Is this a coach who is finding his voice as a head coach? Is this a guy who's maybe figuring it out somewhat on the fly because he hasn't been a head coach before? We mentioned Chad Morris, mentioned Willie Taggart, both fired in year two at Florida State and Arkansas. Their previous teams doing, as Billy mentioned, much better without them. No way to really look back for Jeremy Pruitt unless you want to talk about Alabama's defense, which does not look the same 2 years removed from Jeremy Pruitt being the defensive coordinator. Meanwhile, Tennessee's defense continuing to lead the league in defensive players of the week, according to Pro Football Focus. I believe Daniel Bettuli was the defensive player of the week in the SEC solo this week. I believe he was, did he co-it against South Carolina with the 15 tackles, the block punt, and the touchdown? Seems like two defenses going in opposite directions, and the difference is, well, we stole their offensive, our defensive coordinator and made him our head coach. Improvement in year two. Davey, we talked about that almost all summer. What do you need to see in year two from a coach to know you might have the guy? It's a big step forward, and I believe the number was 8 wins.
8, yeah. That's usually where – that's not necessarily a good coach. That's just a championship-caliber coach.
Right. Well, I feel like that's a good coach.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm saying you can still be a good coach but not be championship-caliber level.
Did that include the bowl, perchance?
I think that was just winning
regular
total.
Season?
No, winning totals, total. Right?
I'm just saying.
I believe so.
I just say that because Tennessee, after week two, did you think 8 was possible?
The only person that kind of goes against it a little bit is Dabo Swinney, but he was interim for a bit, so
true.
That skews it.
True.
It's hard to kind of
do. Yeah, I don't even know if he was an interim for 8 games.
He took over as interim when his team was supposed to finish first in their division. So it's like he was left with a good team.
Yeah.
Which is not the case here.
No. I mean, I think that gets overlooked a lot. I think a lot of people, expect immediate turnaround or super quick, and I just don't know that it's possible. Look, John Tweet says, Georgia stayed at home with an entire offseason to prepare. I'm not dismissing that loss. I am saying, though, if you had told me before the season, you're going to lose to Georgia State, you're going to lose to BYU, and then beat Mississippi State, South Carolina, Kentucky, I think I would take the SEC wins. I think I want to see the team get better as the season goes on. Not saying you excuse the loss, but no. it was moves in those games he didn't make that he made later that kind of show me like, okay, this is a guy who he's not just going to live by the sword and die by the sword. He's not going to just say, Garantano's my guy, deal with it.
Yep.
He made the move. He inserts Maurer. It was against, obviously all 3 quarterbacks played against UTC, but he throws him out there against Florida, calls a bunch of passes, then gets him ready for the Georgia game. If he doesn't get hurt against Georgia, I'd be very interested to see what that game kind of looks like. But I will give Pruitt a lot of credit. I mean, we all laughed at him when he said it, but he said it.
Yeah.
Jarrett Garantano's been our best quarterback. That's why he was the starter. Anyone who's watched practice knows. And this is a guy who we're not throwing him away. He's going to help us win games. He was right. Like, when everybody was just killing him and saying, you got to just kick the guy off the team, bench him forever, I give him credit. Like, he stood by his guys. He's been a guy who will defend his players on the field to the officials, so much that it cost him 15 yards against South Carolina. Like, he's starting to, find some confidence in his decision-making. And I think we're starting to see now he's got a pretty good mind for the game and for motivation and for understanding his players. Obviously, the season did not start out the way he or any player or any fan wanted it to, but I think those games kind of forced him into some uncomfortable situations, some uncomfortable decisions, and frankly, like he's been pretty spot on with his decision-making thus far.
I am curious, and again, this is something you have to deal with every year, but just looking at some of the top-tier teams in the SEC versus the bottom, I am curious to see whether you see certain teams just kind of going in the opposite direction as far as how good is the league as a whole from top to the bottom.
Sure.
And I mean, that's something that we could sit here and debate for the next 3 weeks and still have more things to talk about. And I still have a few qualms with Jeremy Pruitt and what he's done, but I think the main thing to look at when you're viewing his coaching record, not his record, but just his resume as a whole, is he making the same mistakes? And I feel so far from watching this season, he's doing a better job of not making the same mistakes, seeing like, all right, this didn't work out. Let's make sure not to do that again. And so I am seeing growth in that category, which is something you want to see.
Yeah, I felt like with Butch Jones, it was just the same stupid stuff all the time. Right? Like, obviously the two-point conversion thing, that only happened once. But he was notorious for kicking field goals when you probably should have gone for it.
Yeah.
And it cost you a lot of games. Yeah. I will say, and I want to make sure I give credit, Luke tweeted and said, I just hope the aggression returns with surprise onside kicks and going for it on fourth down. I think he's been pretty aggressive on fourth down. It hasn't really worked out that much this year.
No,
I think you had the stat,
he's still
right?
Last in the country in fourth down conversions.
Do you like that he's going for it, though? Like, do you
some
think
situations, yes, and some definitely not.
Has he gone for it in a situation? I mean, like, he didn't do the Vrabel thing where you should have kicked the field goal and went for it and ended up nearly
costing
you the game.
No, there's not been the special teams ones. I think as far as the fourth down conversions that he's tried, I understand that he wants the identity of this team to be, we're going to beat you in the trenches, we're going to run it behind our best player, and we're going to get the first down. And right now, they are not really able to do that on like fourth and one situations, and I don't think it's been against necessarily great front groups from other SEC teams. So I think in some of these situations, it's best just to take the points. Fortunately, it's not come back to haunt you like I thought it would, like South Carolina. I thought he screwed himself over by going for it there.
I trust the defense.
But sometimes it works out, and again, we could sit here and talk more about this, but I know we're kind of up against it. So
no, we will, though, because I think it's interesting. Like, everyone was worried about Pruitt, and now he's a guy who's kind of showing us a little something. Hour two next.